This is a continuation of the January 6, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 452 for property ID 142269000. The property is owned by Todd P. Burchett and Melissa L.R. Burchett et al. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office and no one present for the appellant, so I'll hand it back to the board.
Since there's no one present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 6th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 699 for property ID 232935000. The property is owned by Eric Dye. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Eric Dye on video chat for the appellant. So we'll go ahead and have you raise your right hand and we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Just to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind the assessor has presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I submitted the paperwork, and I guess I didn't understand how this was going to go. I submitted the paperwork, and I thought you guys were just going to go over that, and I was going to oversee it when you guys go over it. I guess that's not correct. But, I mean, all I did is I just submitted a bunch of similar properties. You know, that were their lesser value than what's suggested. And I guess my biggest concern about all this is I bought this house late 2019. I bought it for $500,015, I believe. I just have always been confused where the assessed value comes from when that is what I paid in a fair market value. You know, the house sat on the market for months. You know, nobody bought it, so it's not like it was a crazy deal. I didn't know the seller. And so I've just never understood why we don't go off that value when that's what you guys have defined as how you find the value. So other than those comparable values that I submitted, and that information, and then my neighbors, like literally right next door to me, you know, 50 feet away from me, they just bought their place. I think it was like a month or two ago, so I didn't have time to, you know, submit that since I had it. I have all the information in earlier, but they bought their place. I think it's 2.5 acres. They've got 2 extra bedrooms. They got an extra bathroom, and you know, if you go in their house, they had custom handiwork done. The old owner, her son, was this master carpenter. He went through and he did all sorts of crazy stuff. And they paid $710 for that house. So I just don't understand where my house is being valued compared to everything else.
Well, they have a model that they build every year based on sales of comparable property. And they've used size and size of land and all that stuff and put into a model, and then that model, then they put your criteria into that model, and that puts an assessed value based on that. And it's called mass appraisal. And it compares you to other similar properties and brings out a price. That's where it comes from. I don't run that. That's the assessor's office, totally independent from us. So we have no idea. So you paid $516 for it in November of 19. So you've had it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Is yours a stick built house?
No, it's a. I think that's half the problem. Is it's a log built house?
Okay.
I don't think anybody knows how to value this house, but the, you know, going back, I submitted the appeal last year also, and I don't know. Like I say, I'm just really confused about the whole process because I understand what you're saying, where they go through this model and they compare it to other homes. But the homes they compared it to last year were, you know, they were like in Battleground. If I remember correctly, they're like in Battleground. I mean, they were like brand new homes that were, you know, some of them were like 3,500 square feet, like quite a bit bigger, you know, super nice houses, landscaped yards, all this stuff. And that, it's just not what I have. It's this house. I don't know how it even happened, but this house was never finished. There's no ceilings on the bathrooms or bedrooms. Like I say, there's one bedroom in this house, which, you know, I mean, significantly kills the value. You know, the property is full of blackberries. It's just, I think if somebody made the trip out here to look at the house, they would, you know, they would agree. And I think that's backed up by the fact that when the house was for sale in 2019, like it sat on the market for months and nobody wanted anything to do with it. And even when I bought it, you know, I didn't pay full price. I had a decent amount of room for negotiation because the condition of the property on the house.
Yeah.
So you appealed this last year? Did you appeal with us last year?
Yes, I did.
And did we come back at your purchase price for the value, or what did we do for the value last year?
No, that's what I said. I don't understand. Like, I got a bunch of the, I guess what you're using the term model. There was a bunch of what whoever said was comparable homes, but they weren't even in the area and they weren't even close. You know, I wouldn't call them a comparable house. So I got those back and they just said, hey, it is what it is. We're saying this is valued at what it is. And I'm not sure who I talked to, but I talked to a girl and I just said, hey, this is, I don't understand. She said, we'll give you a one-time pass, or I'm using the wrong terms, but she said, I'll give you a one-time pass and we'll figure it out next year. I mean, something, I'm paraphrasing. I'm
not so this, you did not appeal it to us last year. You didn't do a formal appeal like this last year.
I didn't have a conversation with anybody, but I submitted all the paperwork and whatnot. And then I just got the return decision.
It looks maybe like it was stipulated.
Yeah,
it was a stipulation.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
The assessor's office stipulated, meaning they agreed with you or, you know, said, okay, you just bought the house, so we'll go with that price. And now this year, you're getting the full bore. Now, you know, now they're not giving you enough here. They're hitting you with all of it. So the fact that you provided comps, that's good. That's what you needed to do. And the comps you provided are, looks like they're kind of close to your house. They're more remote. They're not right in downtown Battleground. So I have enough information to make a decision.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
Just do this again next year if you need to appeal.
Okay. I'm sorry, I'm confused. Are you guys make a decision later, or how does that work?
Yeah, we'll send you a letter within 30 days
telling
you what we decided.
Sorry, I just want to make sure I wasn't, like, not giving you information that you needed or something.
Usually it's sooner than that, so if it's been a few weeks and you haven't seen anything, feel free to check in.
Yeah, no problem. Well, you guys probably have a million of these that you do.
Not quite that many.
Thankfully, right?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. You'll hear from us in 30 days. Thanks. All right,
appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Can you give with me closing that?
It from the purchase price.
Dan, can you give with me closing that?
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 6th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. The hearing before us involves petition number 1302 for 2020 cases for property ID 148154000. The property is owned under record as Geraldine P. Koth. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Patricia Hughes as the representative for the appellant on the line over the phone. Mm-hmm. So Patricia, as the representative, we'll go ahead and have you get sworn in. So go ahead and raise your right hand and we'll get you started.
Okay, it's raised.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the denial of your, handicap provisions under the tax law. And keep them as of, and I don't know, is this as of January 1st of 2021?
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is as of 2021, correct?
Correct. So it's filed as 2020. That's how we have it in the case system.
It was filed in 2020?
It's filed for 2020, so it's referencing January 1, 2020.
Okay.
And when did Geraldine pass?
December 27th of 2020.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Anyway, as of that date, then keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So, unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain this. Situation.
Okay. Well, the situation is my brother has a mental disability. He's 22 years old. He's lived with my mother his entire life, and her wish was that he continue to live in the home after she passed away. And all of us understand that, and we are doing our best to try to make that home as cost effective as possible so that he can live there within his income. He makes, Social Security went up a little bit, so he makes, I think, $125 from SSI and about $736 from Social Security, and he gets food stamps. So he's the only one living in the home, and he lives there rent-free. Because it was her wish for him to continue to stay in the home, and we're just trying to figure out how to keep him in the home on his income. The property tax reduction was approved, but only partially, based on the fact that there are five owners, but the other four owners are really getting no benefit from the home, other than the responsibility is kind of falling on us if there's any repairs needed, you know, that kind of thing. We'd have to figure out how to cover that.
But you said he was...
Pardon me?
Excuse me a minute. You said he was 22 years old. He's 62 years, right?
Oh, I meant 62.
Yeah,
did I
okay.
say 22? Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, and...
Yeah.
This trust that's set up for him, does the trust automatically give him the right to live in the home?
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, he's one-third owner through the trust.
Didn't you say she stipulated in her will that he was supposed to be able to live in the home?
Well, she had some instructions, written instructions, that said, it's my wish that my son, he was age 38 at that time, Robert Edward Cothey, be allowed to live in my house and to maintain the house and yard as long as he is able to do so. Should he become disabled to the extent that the house is so neglected and depreciated, then sell the house and get an apartment for him with the aid of Social Security and SSI.
And that's in the will?
I don't know if this is formally part of the will. It was instructions written to me.
So you said that they gave you a partial credit for, because it, there's actually five owners. The letter that we have it doesn't even really say which one of these reasons you were denied for.
Well, I think what happened in the beginning is they didn't have proof of residence between the interim when my mother passed away and then when the deed was actually transferred by the attorney, which for whatever reason, it took him a long time after probate was started. He finally transferred the deed in August. And so based on that, I think they were thinking that technically Robert wasn't an owner until August or wasn't a resident or something like that. It wasn't explained to me either very well.
Okay. It was specified in the will that it was to go to the five children. Is that correct?
Correct. Divided into six portions with 2/6 going to him through his special needs trust.
So it's six parts. Okay. So he gets...
A third.
Okay, got it.
1/3, yeah.
So did you ever provide them the documentation to show them that he has lived there? Or what, did you just get this letter and you feel?
Okay, here's the other thing. Yes, I did. And they either sent me something or told me that it was approved. And, but then... I looked it up on, you know, the GIS website. Oh, and then they sent me a couple of statements of the value, the assessed value for tax purposes based on they approved like a 1/3 reduction. But part of the problem was I noticed that the assessed value for tax purposes increased from 2021 to 2022, and when I called to ask about that, they said it's because, I guess it's because they couldn't grant the full reduction because he wasn't the only owner. Okay. But the thing is, the others of us are not getting any benefit out of it. We're not charging him rent. We have, you know, an obligation to maintain the home for him. It's 65 years old, and the low-income program recently provided him a new furnace and insulation. But, you know, if anything else needs repair, he hasn't got the funds for that. So to the other four owners, it's just a liability at this point. And the thing, too, is that if he wasn't living there, he would be dependent on some kind of government funding to find him a place to live. Not to mention the fact that he's schizophrenic and extremely paranoid, and if he ever had to leave his home, it would just be traumatic for him. I think he would just have a complete breakdown.
Okay, you have another letter, you said, from them?
Yes. I do. You know, it may have been by email. Let me check. It may have been by email, and then later on. Sorry, I guess I'm a little disorganized here. They did send me a letter, I believe, and... Oh, okay. And they sent me two change of value notices, one for each year. Let me check my email and see if they notified me over email. But then, see, I asked based on that. I called and said, well, is there any point in me still having the January 6th review? And they said, well, yes, because you hadn't received a formal notice from them that they had made a decision.
That was with me.
Oh, was that you? Okay.
Yeah. I didn't see anything on my end at the time that we spoke, maybe last week or so, showing me that things had changed. I can't see everything that they can see, though.
Oh, yeah. They had told me to notify you that a decision has been made, and that's why I called. I'm trying to find that... Oh, okay. On December 20th, I got an email saying your application for the Senior Citizen Disabled Persons Exemption Program has been approved. You will receive a change of value notice by mail providing you with additional information about your exemption status. And then I received, a few days later, I received these two change of value notices for 2020 and 2021, and one for 2021 and 2022. And I was curious because I thought under the this program that your assessed value for tax purposes is frozen, but I noticed that it went up from $267,000 to $299,000. So I called about that, and the reason for that, I'm not entirely clear, but I think it's because he wasn't approved for the full reduction because of the other owners. Yeah, I don't think I did receive a letter of any kind. I think I just got these two change of value notices in the mail.
Well, I'm looking at your GIS system. I see one here that's dated 6/3 for... saying it's $131,000 is the taxable value.
That would have been when my mother, probably under my mother's ownership.
Right.
Because she was on the low-income program, too. You're showing what amount? 100-some thousand?
$131,556, and that's a 60%
yeah,
exemption. And that was for her when she, that was done in 2021 when she was still alive.
Correct.
When did she pass?
December 27th of 2020.
Okay. So this was her exemption. And then they have another one that is... dated... 9/30/21, and it lists the taxable value at 373. I don't see anything in there about the 299 that you're talking about.
That would be, okay, assessment year 2021, tax year 2022.
Yeah.
Is what the 299,000 is for, 299,750. total base for real property tax.
Oh, here it is. It's not in the file under the value changes, but it's in there under as the taxable amount for the year. So that's probably the difference. It probably is 2/3 of the value.
I mean, to me, it would make sense if we were charging rent, but we're not charging rent on this property. And he's the only one getting any value out of living in the home.
Yeah, the problem is that the regulations are not written to cover every situation. And they're written is that you must be an owner of the property. And they're interpreting this to say that, you know, he only owns a third interest in the property, so therefore he's only getting a third of the exemption requirement.
Right. Well, do you think there are any options for us to make this more affordable for him based on his income?
Quit claim your interest in the property to him. And then if he had a will, he could leave it to you in his will. But in the meantime, you and your siblings quit claim your interest, so he's 100% owner of the house.
Quit claim it?
To right.
Yeah, which means basically you are giving it all to him.
Yeah, you're relinquishing your interest in the house.
Relinquish your interest, but you need to set up a trust for his benefit so that somebody, I mean, he can't manage his own money, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you'd have to set up a trust that makes sure that you're, one of you is the trustee to manage all of this, but still relinquish your ownership in the property. I mean, you'd have to talk to your attorney to get this right, but you'd have to relinquish your ownership in the property 100% to him. But based on this trust that one of you is the trustee and a succession of trustees, so that if in case one of you pass while he's still alive, then it would be, back to you as an inheritance from his death. But you have to talk to the attorney about doing that, because that's something that's a little more complicated than we might just totally tell you about. So it would have to do that. It'd have to be basically 100% his ownership, or at least his control. And I think it has to be ownership for him to be get the full benefit of that.
Okay, and I don't know what all the implications of that would be, because, I mean, he wouldn't be able to maintain the home.
Well, yeah, you'd still be helping him, but your name just wouldn't be on the title to the property anymore. You'd definitely want to talk to your attorney, or a good attorney that, you know, you have confidence in, to walk you through that.
Right.
And then figure out what...
And then you could all then... You loan money to the estate, his estate, to maintain the property, and then at the time of his death, then it would come back to your estate.
But he wouldn't have any money. If we loaned him money, there would be no funds for him, you know, in his estate.
Well, no, but it would be funds from the house. I mean, you would get the house back. You're going to be paying the bills anyway. You said you're going to have to be help maintaining the property anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
if
you need to maintain it, you would not be an owner in it, so you wouldn't have an interest in maintaining it. But you would have to loan the money to the estate, and then at the time it's willed back to you, then you would have the asset to go against the money that you'd loan. But again, that is something that we're not experts in that, and that's something that you would have to work out with an attorney to do that. That's the only way you could get benefit. The only way he could get benefit of the full tax exclusion.
Okay. Okay. So there's no other options as far as an exemption on the part of the county?
No. And how much a year are you saving, or were you saving by having the senior exemption? Was it a few thousand dollars, several thousand dollars a year?
Well, my mother was saving $3,000 a year.
Okay.
It's in this letter someplace here.
So he's
hers was a... I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, so if you look at that letter dated October 21st and the end of the first paragraph, it says she was paying $891 for 2020 and it went up to the maximum amount of $3,923 for 21. So it's roughly she was saving $3,000.
Yeah.
In taxes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I don't know all the implications of what that would mean if we did that, the quit claim.
Yeah.
I don't know either. I mean, that's why I said you need to get an attorney involved in that to understand how that would all work.
Okay, but there's no other options with your organization, correct?
No.
Not with a county. We're completely separate from the assessor's office. We don't make these decisions. We just review them if the taxpayer has a question or problem. So we're just giving you ideas about how to be able to get it worked out for his benefit and yours too.
Uh-huh. Okay, great. Well, is there any point in me appealing it any further, do you think?
Well, not based on the recent letter that you got. We haven't seen that letter, but it sounds like that's what they've done, is given you a one-third reduction. And it basically is, I think, is 60% of one-third.
Oh, okay. Okay. And there's no way they can freeze the value to the value at the time we applied for the reduction?
I don't believe so. I think they have already done that.
Okay.
It's at the time it goes to him, his estate, yeah.
Uh-huh. But it apparently it goes up every year still.
Well, it will go up every year if the value of the property goes up, because he only gets 60% reduction. So that other 30% will continue to grow.
It'll still be considerably less than the full amount. So it's still, you're still going to save quite a bit if you get it all squared away for him.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, well, thank you for reviewing it.
Okay, sorry we can't help you more. The regulations are pretty clear. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Close the hearing.
This is the January 6th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves case number 134 for property ID 205-684-000. The property is owned by Lorna F. Lambert and Christopher M. Lambert. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have Lorna Lambert present over video chat for the appellant. So if we could go ahead and have you raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from the board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Michelle, I think you were going to let me share my screen. I just want to explain a little. I don't know how much time we have because I know it's 9:09 already. I don't know if we have to end at 9:15, but due to a significant medical issue involving a close family member, I've been a bit preoccupied the last few weeks, and I missed the part about the 21 business days for submitting the evidence, and did it 21 calendar days in advance. So I'm going to try my best to go over some of the information in the next few minutes, and just hit some highlights. So hopefully that will be acceptable. If you can allow me to share my screen, I'll try to explain some of the information and so on as we go through that. So, and Michelle, if you have questions, please stop or interrupt me. Michelle, if you could give me like maybe a 3-minute warning or something, that way I can make sure I can try to hit like the important points and not run over.
Okay. You're good. You do still have your full time. That was
okay.
We were busy.
All right. Thank you. I will cover some of the following just highlights, photos of our property. I did do a comparable sales analysis, so I'll hit some highlights of that, and I'll try to show you at least some of the pictures if possible. I did do one other comparison property because I actually had the opportunity to go and visit it in person because we had an HOA meeting at this person's house, and it's just around the corner from ours. And it sold for $750,000, I think, in August of 2020. So it was sold within the time period. And the assessor evaluated our property at $755,000. So it was really interesting to see that property compared to ours. So if I have time, I'd like to talk about that one a little bit. And then I assume that you have the most recent BOE valuation from last year, which was $600,000. So I can show you that if you don't have it, but I assume that you do have it. Yep. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Bear with me while I figure out how to do this. Let's see. I want to just do screen one, share. So I'm going to first of all details of all of this, but I did do 3 comparables. All of these were properties that it was interesting because I know the sales record that the appraiser's office puts out, so you can find comparable properties, listed the acreage incorrectly for all 3 of these. It was listed at 1 acre. It's actually 4.75 and 4.8 respectively. So that was interesting because I was trying to find comparables and they all had 1 acre listed. So anyway, I was able to find these. They all ranged in value from like 600 to 625. These 3, they were within the time period. I did try to kind of highlight some of the things about them. And I also have pictures because I think pictures probably kind of explain a bit more than trying to go through the details of all of this. They were fairly comparable in terms of size. None of them were the size of our house, but there was a couple at least that were reasonably close, you know, like in the high 3000s, I would say. Couple of them had some really cool features, like this one had a 3,456 square foot shop associated with it that my husband would die for. And then there was another one, let's see, that this one here was completely remodeled, high-end finishes and so on, sunroom, floor-to-ceiling windows and so on. This one here, I think, was also the one that was also completely remodeled. This one was more comparable with ours in terms of the condition of the inside. But anyway, I just wanted to highlight that. And we might come back to that in a moment. I'm going to go ahead and actually, I'm going to show you the pictures of our house first. Let me do that because I do want to make sure that we do that. So let me pull this over here. I tried to tee everything up as best I could. So pictures of our main floor. Some of these you've seen before. But anyway, this is some of these pictures are from our kitchen. There's an old oven that is kind of like set into the wall. I think that's from the original date of the house, which was 1990. You can see some of the old trim, the floors, the countertops, and there's a couple more pictures that give you a bit more detail. This is another room on the main floor, which kind of shows you kind of the 1990s sort of stuff. This is also the kitchen, counters, countertops are tile. There's some damage. It's hard to show the damage in a photograph, but, you know, like some of the trim is, you know, it's just worn and dated. It just needs to be redone, and we haven't had the time or the funds to be able to do all of that to this point. I tried to show some pictures of the floor. Here's the main floor bathroom. Again, it's very dated. You got to love the gold taps and so on, and there's some damage to the tile there. So that's the main floor. So I'll get rid of that one, and then I'll show you this one here. I'll pull this one over. Okay, let's see. Hopefully it's going to let me open this up. It's already open. Oh, no. Let's see. I'm trying to get the pictures to open. Here we are. So here's the garage pictures. I'll come back to the other one, which has the staircase. So the garage, again, it's just to more show you the condition, because sometimes the appraiser's office kind of rates the condition as high or three. I don't even know what the ratings mean, to be honest, in terms of quality. But this is the quality of our garage. It's not insulated. I mean, there's bits of insulation, but there's open parts of the wall. The ceiling is open. There's one piece of roof that is sagging. This is what the rest of it looks like. There is actually now a leak in the roof that we're going to have to fix. I tried to show that in a picture, the cracks in the floor and so on. So that's the garage. Let me get out of that one. I'm going to try to show you the staircase one. Oh, gosh, why is it saying it's open? Maybe this is it. Nope, that's the one we just looked at. Bear with me. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to... We have a staircase, and I'll just tell you, we have a... Although this is one of the most compelling ones. I don't know why it's not opening. Let me... Bear with me a second. I'm able to get it the other way. We have a staircase, and I don't know why it's not opening. I'm sorry. In any case, we have a staircase in our house that connects the main floor with the basement. You've seen a picture of this before. It's improperly installed. The railing, it faces the wall. There's open space to the left as you're kind of going down. The stairs are narrow. It's sort of like these wooden flat things that you walk down. It's dangerous. We need to replace it. I know we need to replace it. We haven't had the funds to do that. So there's that. We've also got some issues with the basement floor in that at certain times of the year it buckles, and I have pictures of the buckling. There's some of the boards that have cracked. It was improperly installed before we bought the house. We need to fix that too. I mean, I feel stupid bringing this to you every year, but we know we need to fix it. If I can get the picture open, I'll show you what it looks like. And then this last one, I don't know that it's particularly relevant, because I know that decking and stuff doesn't really matter, but we've got some issues with the deck, the entire deck, and that, you know, obviously it needs to, the treads need to be replaced. There's an issue with the railing in that the slats are not visible, or not visible, not present. So there's a safety issue there that we need to correct. We did get an estimate from a contractor a couple years ago of $13,000. If you can even find a contractor now, the materials cost is going to be probably much higher due to, you know, COVID and all of the supply chain issues. So that's a problem as well. Let me see. How much time do I have left, Michelle?
Do you have the narrow the really narrow, almost like a circular staircase kind of? That
correct.
Goes down
to your basement? Yeah, it's a spiral staircase, and it just needs to be replaced. I don't even know if we have room to put in a regular one. It might involve putting in an elevator at some point because it's dangerous. Let's see. I need to find the other bits here. So I just wanted to show you some pictures. This is the first comparable house. And I wanted to show you the inside of this house compared to ours. This one was sold, I think, on April 2020 for, let me see, $600,000. The size is, I think, if I remember from the form, it's like 3,600 square feet. It's been completely redone. It's, you know, it's much newer. much more updated than ours. I have this other one here, and the outside, they're obviously doing some work to it, but they were smart. They did a lot of upgrades on the inside. You can see that there's quartz, there's a beautiful kitchen. The whole place has been redone on the inside, and now they're starting on the outside. So it probably doesn't look as nice as ours on the outside, but it's definitely nicer on the inside than ours. There's this other one here, which I think in terms of the finishes is kind of similar to ours. Again, the size is very similar. And there are some bits of this one that have been upgraded, but like the kitchen looks quite similar to ours and some of the other bits there. Let's see. I wanted to show you this one here because this is the one I actually had the chance to visit in person. It's obviously really hard to tell from pictures, you know, how to compare a house. You have to search online. I'm looking at Redfin and all of that. But I actually got to go to this house in person, and this is the one that sold for $750,000. And again, it's been completely updated. You know, the rooms are beautiful. There's an enormous shop in the back that you could live in. You could park probably 3 or 4 RVs in it. It's enormous. The concrete floor is new. You know, so I wanted to show this one because this one sold for what the appraiser's office thinks our house is worth. And there was no comparison when I actually was able to see it in person. So anyway, I just wanted to show you that one. And I'm sorry, I'm scrolling really fast. I'm probably making you dizzy. Let's see, this is the shop, and it actually in person looks bigger than it does in the pictures. I mean, it's an amazing shop. and this is the entire property. Am I almost out of time, Michelle? I don't even know what time it is.
You still got a few minutes if
you
need
it. How are we doing on time? I still have a few minutes. Okay, let me think of, let's see what else I have to share with you. I'm going to bring this document over and see if there's anything here that I need to highlight. Let's see. Yeah, I just talked about the differences with the properties. These were the prices. This one was the one that we just looked at. That is my neighbor's property. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else important I need to tell you. Let me try again to see if I can pull up that photograph because I don't understand why it's not pulling up. It says it's open, and let me just look down here and see if I can figure out why it's where it's open so that I can show it to you. Just don't know why it's not letting me. Why it's not letting me. No. Oh, it's not going to let me do that either. Well, I wish I could show you this one because the staircase is a trip and the basement floor is definitely a problem and it's not going to let me open it for some reason. It was letting me open it earlier. Let me see if I can find it. I'm going to run out of time, probably. Let's see. What is this? This is, no, that's the deck.
Can I just ask you a question while you're looking? So your home
does have, ma'am.
Yeah, your home does have a detached garage with an apartment?
It has what I would call a rec room attached to the apartment. Yes, it's a detached garage, and there's kind of a rec room. It has a bathroom, but it does not have a kitchen, and it's like a single room, if you will. And that was one of the points, I think, that I disputed a couple years ago with the appraisal office. I hope they're not still listing it as an apartment because it's not an apartment. It's a room.
They wrote that on their sheet. And is it finished up with sheetrock and carpet?
It's finished. Yeah. It is finished. And I'm sorry, I don't have a picture of that to show you, but. I think I had submitted a picture of it before just to show that there is no kitchen. There's not, I mean, like someone would have to, you know, there's a bathroom and a room, right. Essentially. First, I don't know if it's my computer or what, but it's not letting me open this email now. I'm sorry. I'm trying to think if there's some other way I can get to it. I know I emailed it to myself, but I think I might have deleted the emails. In any case, I think what else? Any other questions, I guess? I mean, I think those are the highlights that I can give you in the space of time that we have. And again, I'm sorry I missed the part about the calendar days. or the business days. We've just had a lot on our plate lately.
Do you feel like your home has not gone up in value at all since last year?
Because you're putting the same value. I feel like it probably has. I certainly don't think it's gone up by $155,000. I certainly wouldn't pay $755,000 for our house. Not based on the condition on the inside, at least. I'm sure it's gone up by some. And again, you know, the comparables that I found ranged from 600 to 625. I mean, I don't know what the percentage increase has been. I know things have gone up a lot over the last year because of COVID, but.
Okay. Thank you.
Or not because of COVID, but you know what I mean? The supply, all of the changes that are, the supply chain stuff and all of that. I think that's it, Michelle. I'm probably out of time at this point, and I can't get this picture to open for some reason. It always works when you don't need it to, and then it doesn't when you do. So.
Do you have any bids or quotes on anything that's needing repairs?
Not recent ones, Mr. Weaver. I did get some a couple of years ago for the kitchen and the bathroom, but again, I think the cost of materials has gone up significantly. Weirdly enough, I do have a contractor coming out next week. He was actually supposed to come out before this meeting, but because of the holidays, we had to postpone. So he's actually not coming out until next week. And I think at a minimum, we're probably at least going to get the basement floor fixed because that's, you know, a big problem at the moment. Some of the other stuff we're just going to get bids on and maybe start tackling it bit by bit. So I don't have that currently. And yeah, for a couple of years ago for the kitchen and the bathroom, it was, I would say for the kitchen and bathroom, both, it was going to be, you know, somewhere in the region of $40,000 to $45,000 for that bit on the main floor. But I don't have anything more recent.
Could you put your comps? Put your comps up. Again.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me try to figure out how to get to that again. Let's see. Oh gosh, I'm trying to navigate this screen and it's a challenge. Here we are. Okay, let me move this little picture here. One thing I don't know, I couldn't find on the appraisal site, but like, what do they consider good versus average and all of that? I can't, like, they have a scale, like one is this or, you know, but it doesn't describe what it is. So it's hard for me to know, like, how to compare that, other than from the pictures that you find online.
Dan, are you going to answer that one?
I don't know. I mean, there is a definition that they have given out before. I don't know where they have that stored, so I don't know where you get that.
Okay. Maybe if, I mean, it's possible if I ask them for it, they might give me that. I have never asked them for it, but I could do that.
Your square footage in your main house is 2,700 square feet, is that correct?
As far as I know, I mean, that's straight from the appraisals. We've never actually measured it ourselves. We assume that it's correct, but I'm kind of thinking that maybe I should just double check.
And the rec room you were talking about over the garage is 570, is that what I'm looking at?
That's what they have on the website, yes. And okay. Again, I haven't double checked it, but.
Okay, I'm going to tell you that you're probably not going to be happy with what we might do with this. And if you want another shot at this, you have the chance to go appeal it to the state, and you can submit all new information, and it's a totally new hearing at the state level. but you have to be prepared, because if you're not prepared, they're not going to listen to you very much. And they will give you clear instructions to how to prepare and what kind of information they want to see. And if you don't have it, they're not going to have any tolerance whatsoever with regard to information not provided in accordance with their instructions. So I would just advise you, if you want to do that, and you can get bids to send in, and even the old bids, even though they're maybe 2 or 3 years old, they give a benchmark of the cost, and everybody understands the costs have gone up over the years, so that at least it gives a benchmark of what to do, what needs to be done to fix that particular part of the house. So all of those things can be submitted in a state appeal.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of expected that, because, you know, regardless of what's going on in people's lives, the wheels of government continue to grind, and, you know, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, I was kind of prepared for the fact that we would need to appeal to the state, so that's fine.
And next year for us, that same advice applies for, and I know next year hopefully will be different for you, but put those bids in. Hopefully you'll have new ones, but if not, put in the ones that you have from a few years ago.
Okay.
And now you know about the 21 business days, so hopefully that will help with that. Your comps are good. I mean, the information's good. It's just a matter of timely filing and that sort of thing. So, and don't assume we can see anything from any previous appeals. You have to resend everything, all the pictures and Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anything else you want to tell us?
Nope. I think that's it.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. You'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay. I don't know how to shut this down, but I imagine you can cut me off.
All good. All right. Okay. So I'll go ahead and drop you off, and then, yeah, do feel free to check in with questions if you get any of that about the state.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. You.
Bye.
Okay. And close that one?
Close the hearing.
This is a continuation of the January 6th, 2022 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 15 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 454 for property ID 172753000. The property is owned by Lewis C. Schnell and Betty Schnell Trustee. Board members present by video conference are Lisa Bodner, John Rose, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present for the assessor's office, but we do have both Lewis Schnell and Betty Schnell on the line for the appellant. You don't both have to speak, but whoever would like to, I know we can't see you, but if you could raise your right hand, we'll get you sworn in.
Oh, okay. Raise your right hand.
Okay, I got it up.
Thank you.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2021. Keep in mind, the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Turn it over to you, Luke.
Only one am I supposed to do?
What? Your appeal.
Yeah, well, it's just my appeal number here was 454 and scheduled for a meeting today. Gonna have my daughter here to set the machinery up for it, and then she's got COVID at her house, so we can't have her over here. So I was wanting the value changed to $858,000. That's what it was last year, and my daughter is into real estate now, and she checked around the area, and she couldn't find any new sales for this type of land. And by the way, it flooded this morning.
Like
a big lake down there this morning. Hello?
Yep, we're here.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know what else to say. I sent quite a bit of information to you guys, or to the board, and I don't have any more. I was going to have her talk to you, but she can't be here.
Well, we tried to contact the assessors, and they never responded. She sent them an email, and they never, ever responded.
Yeah, I don't know what to do.
I never attend these meetings.
So I don't know what else you need. Hello?
Yep, we're here.
Oh, I can hear you.
He said they're here.
Oh, I don't hear very well.
We're just reading over the paperwork again.
Oh, okay. They're reading over the paperwork again.
Oh, okay.
Has there been any additional interest in the, I guess, the Department of Natural Resources in buying some of this property?
Yes, they've talked to my daughter, but we're not interested in selling it yet. Really, still been farming that. He gets grass hay cuts down there in the summertime.
Yep.
I think they gave, excuse me, I think they gave her an offer, didn't they? But I don't know what it was.
I don't think they gave her an offer this year. They didn't have it. They said they didn't have money right now.
Oh.
Okay, I think I understand it.
What?
He thinks he understands.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Any other questions, Lisa or John?
No, I don't have any other questions.
Nope.
Okay, you'll hear from us within 30 days.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we appreciate your efforts, because you've done thank well you. By us the last 10 years, because I think they assess real high every year.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Close the hearing.